The message isn't beware of popular preachers. Beware of popular preachers. This is also in print, but we want to preach it and get it more forcefully effective in this end time generation where the church is Laodicean and our nation is, and the Western world is overrun with soothsaying preachers, and most of them are false prophets. Beginning in 1 John the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. And the Bible said you need to try their spirits. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now that's not the only way you tell a false prophet, and he's not talking about the mouth of the prophet, he's talking about the spirit in the preacher. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now here I want to stop. What is he talking about overcoming? He said, you've overcome them. Them who? Preachers. The subject is false prophets. It's not evil spirits. Like you hear everybody quoting this scripture, oh, you overcome the devil because greater is he in you than he is in the world. That's not what he's talking about. He said many false prophets are gone out into the world and try the spirits. He's really talking about both. But the primary subject is false prophets because it continues. And you can note there the continuation is on false prophets or popular preachers. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. You've overcome the preacher, and you've overcome that old spirit of divination that's inside of him. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That don't mean God's going to come along and pull the veil off and show you the booger, but at least you'll believe somebody that comes along when he does pull the veil off and shows you the booger immediately. Yes. A booger under the sheet. Immediately, your spiritual reflexes responds to that warning, and you say, oh my, I didn't know that. That is more dangerous than I thought. All right? Here we continue. They're of the world. Now, isn't that a very climactic revelation here, talking about the spirits and popular preachers, that many have gone out into the world and they've got a wrong spirit? He said, now they're of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. They're going to preach worldliness to you. They're going to preach a message of conformity to the world. They're not going to separate you from the world. They're going to make you conform to the things of the world. Said, so they're of the world, therefore speak thee of the world, and the world heareth them. Then he makes another remarkable revelation here in a statement. We are of God. We are of God. Isn't that wonderful? When you know the difference, then you're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth not God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth. There's two kinds of spirits. There's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. And the spirit of truth is in the real man of God, and the spirit of error is in the popular preachers that speak like the world, and the world heareth them. They're popular. They're respected by the crowds. They're accepted by the masses. Their popularity poll is high. While the true man of God with the spirit of truth, his popularity poll is virtually zero. Amen. God says, hereby, you can tell him. Here's the spirit of truth and the spirit of error manifested. That the world hears them and they speak like the world. And he says, you're of God, little children, and you've overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus gave a warning that's even more sobering. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of his judgment. At his judgment seat, they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? They're going to be up there on his left hand, the popular preachers, trying to alibi, trying to find some excuse for their breakdown in loyalty to Christ, and saying, don't you know in your name, we used your name, we used your name, we used your name, we hollered, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We baptized in Jesus' name. We did everything in Jesus' name. Them's the kind of birds Jesus is going to look at and say, I didn't ever know you. Using Jesus' name. Listen, you can use Jesus' name till your head falls off. If he don't know you and you're not in good divine favor with him, that name don't mean anything. Amen. Devil ain't going to run from you or that name either unless you have the authority to use it. In the name of Jesus means in the authority of. Praise God, if you don't have the authority, that name don't mean anything. Then will I profess, Jesus will turn on them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then he gives a warning about the two men. One man built on the rock. And he says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he's a wise man that builds on a rock. Then when the rains descend and the floods came and the winds blow and beat on his house, it didn't fall and it still won't fall. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. And it means the whole truth, the truth, and nothing but the truth. Not listening at little partial truths or little nuggets and essence of peppermint that some preacher pulls out of the embodiment of truth, which is the Word of God. But it means a preacher that declares the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and the ears that it falls upon can discern it to be the truth. He's the man that builds upon the rock and his house don't fall. But a fellow that hears that word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and he rejects even part of it, you build on the sand. And then when the same rains and floods and winds beat against your house, it'll fall, and great shall be the fall of it. That's what's going to happen in judgment, and that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. That time of judgment when the people that build on the sand, they heard the truth, they knew something about it. Because Jesus said, unto whom much is given of him shall be much required. On the day of judgment, the Lord's going to judge you by what you have known and what little you've done with the truth and handled it so carelessly and recklessly governed your life by it. God help us today to build our houses upon the Word of God. Now there's a problem there. He said to those people, I never knew you. Now how in the world can that come about? The Bible warns us, and it's in the Old Testament, by the way, and there's no error in going back to the Old Testament. There's nothing in Congress or lacking in harmony with the New Testament. Now, I want you to turn to the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, verse 24. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousnesses that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. See, whenever a man or a woman that once walked with God turns away from opening their ears and continuing with honest heart in the way of truth, in the way of holiness, then God gives them up. And God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Or they're irresponsible in their activities because of the condition, the attitude that God just consigns them to because of their rebellion against the Word of God, as we find in Romans 1, beginning in verse 28. The Bible said God gives them over to a reprobate mind. In Hebrews 3 and 12, the great apostle warned and said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Let me tell you, there's a lot of men started out right, but they got wrong. They didn't depart immediately. But when you step off one degree out of God's divine favor and out of His way of holiness today, just think, in 10 or 15 years, how far off the beaten path that leads to everlasting life you're going to be off of it. Leave the mark, leave the path one degree today, and in 5 or 10 years, you're so far away from God, it's as if you never knew Him before in your lifetime.